was talking to Dave outside, and I wrote down, you know, a few weeks ago, when the Lord gives me a sermon topic, I just kind of write it down and go from there. And I wrote this down a few weeks ago, and then this morning, you know, knowing I was going to be preaching this evening, how God just puts everything together, I thought, I wonder what Dave's sermon's going to be about this morning. And it's about standing in the gap. And I thought, praise the Lord. And there again, he never ceases to amaze me. And I don't know how I can mean that, because he is God. He's going to amaze me every minute of every day. He's amazing when I look up and see the clouds. He's amazing when we look around and see the grass grow. And amazing when I think about them bees he talked about all the time. My son and his wife got their bees. And it's amazing. Just talk to him sometime about them bees. And you'll know how awesome God is. I always said after our kids were born, to experience that and to believe there is no God, how can you do that? To watch the birth of a child. That is amazing. But anyways, how God does not work in consequence. Okay, and it's no consequence that Dave's sermon and this sermon jive, and it always goes along with even the Sunday school lesson, thinking about the day of Pentecost. It's going to be in this right now, and it was in that this morning, because it takes a man that has received the day of Pentecost to be that man in the gap. And to clarify, to be politically correct, when I say man, I mean women too, okay? So we're going to start out in John chapter 3, verse 1. And I'll read down a few scriptures. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Let's pray. Lord, we're gathered here together this evening, Lord, to praise you, to learn about you, to worship you, to confess you are God, you are Creator, you are the Savior of us all. We want to give you praise and honor and glory this evening and ask that you be in the midst of us. Stir every heart in this room tonight, Lord, and stir every word, may it be from the Holy Spirit, Lord. And I ask for you to forgive me again and get this fleshly man out of the way, Lord, and let it all be done for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. So, what I wrote down a few weeks ago was the new man. The new man. And then he talks about standing in the gap. So, what this is going to kind of be about is that man that's standing in the gap. What it takes to be that person standing in the gap. And like I said, it's all of us. So please, when I say man, that's ladies too, okay? The new man as a physical believer, okay? We go through this life and we hear about Jesus. We hear what he can do. So we accept him, and here's a few scriptures to support what happens, what we need to do when we become a physical believer. And that is Romans chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 4 through 6 says, Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. So that's talking about the changes that need to occur in our physical life, in our daily walk as we go along. We need to be able to change it, because the next step is talking about the spiritual man. Okay, we'll learn that we need to be led by the spiritual man. Okay, and I'm talking, you know, the physical aspect of the desire to be in church, even on Sunday evening. You know, and like Dave said, people have things to do. That's cool. But there again, I remember sitting there watching the clock and just didn't go. No reason at all. Just didn't go. And 5 minutes after church starts, the guilt sets in. You can sit there right up till that time. That's that physical thing when we become believers, okay? Because we're still people of choice. We still have the freedom to choose. I choose to serve God today. I choose to go to church tonight, okay? Praise the Lord for that. And that was Romans chapter 6. And another one is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen. So what's that telling us? This creature is new. I thought, when I was going looking over this, I thought, Jamie, you are a new man.
Amen.
I am. I'm not bragging on me. I'm a new man for what Jesus done. Claire, you're a new man. You're a new man. You're a new man. Yeah. But we are. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, you are created new. You're a new man, a new person, new creature. 20 wrote down. Oh, right here. This is telling us what we are. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You're an ambassador. That's the way you're supposed to be in our physical life as we go about. Because the world don't see our spiritual. They can't comprehend spiritual. But they see what we are. They have the visual effect. And we are ambassadors, and we are to reflect. Ambassador from the U.S. that goes over to another country is supposed to reflect what the U.S. is. We're supposed to reflect what Christ is. We are ambassadors. Okay, as we go on, new man as a spiritual believer. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 11 through 13 says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Ye shall live. And I looked up that word mortify in the Strong's Concordance. And you know what that means? Yeah, put to death, to kill, to deaden, to, one more word. To subdue. So, there again, from the spiritual aspect, we're supposed to put off the things of the world. We're put off the things of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, the desire to, on Sunday evening. And I don't mean to sound critical of others, because that was me. That was me. And that's what I wrote down in Acts chapter 2, the day, talking about the day of Pentecost. Now I thought as I was leaving this morning, thinking, how could we get through this without the Holy Spirit? No, not one iota. We couldn't sing the songs we sang. Great song. Great song. We couldn't say the prayers. We couldn't preach the sermons, teach. We couldn't do nothing. We'd just be befuddled. Is that a word? I don't know. It would just be a mess. So I thought about the full power he talked about in our electing. When we receive the Holy Spirit, you got the full power of the potential that is created within you to serve Him. Okay? We're all not created the same to do the same thing, but we're all created to do something. And with the Holy Spirit, you have the full power from what God has put in you to be able to do. And you can do it to the fullest. The new man that's called, the new man that is a seeking believer. Okay? A seeking believer. Now, when he got onto the B thing, the B idea, he searched stuff out. Man, he sounded like a scientist when he talks about the bees, you know. He's really well informed. So that's what this next part is about us seeking God as believers. Okay? Psalm 51:10. Let's see. Psalm 51:10. Okay, this is a guy crying out, "Create in me a clean spirit, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Are you seeking that this morning as a believer, or this evening as a believer? That's what we need to be doing as a believer, seeking everything He has to offer. The world is limited what it wants to offer us, but God is unlimited. The next one, Romans 12:2, "And be not conformed to this world." Wow. I think about a lot of churches that might be leaning toward that way. And I don't mean to be speaking out of line. That's true. It is. Okay. "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Renewing our minds. My mind's full of junk. I can tell you. I think, I'll be, you know, sitting there thinking, man, why is that in there? I wish that wasn't in there. But it's full of junk that I've learned through all the years. But I'm supposed to renew my mind by filling it with His Word, His wisdom. And the Holy Spirit will speak to me that I might understand. I remember when I'd read something and I might as well read it in a foreign language. But now I can read something. It's like, whoa, thank you, Lord. He opened things up to me that I never had an inkling, never had a clue. And I'm sure you've all experienced that. As you grow, they talked about the milk. You start out with the milk. Then you might read this scripture again and, oh, I never saw that before. That's when He's feeding you. That's when you're ready for the next step. So I'm there again, we're talking about seeking God as a believer. Colossians 3:10, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him." You know, think about that. Yeah, God created us in His image. That's what we need to strive after. Because this man is, we're born of sin. We're sinners. That's just, bottom line, we're sinners. Best person in the world is a sinner. But we're saved by grace. We need to seek the image of God. Titus 3:5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." There again, that's seeking God. That's seeking Him. Knowing that He done it. Nothing I could do. Not a thing. Not a thing one of us could do. Okay, moving on. The new man, be called by a new name. Isaiah 62:2 says, "And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness," and this is the prophet talking, "and thy all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name." In Acts 11:26, I touched on this a while back. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and disciples were called Christians, first at Antioch. We'll be called by a new name. Why Christians? Because we're Christ-like. That's what we're supposed to strive to be. That's what we'll be called as Christians. Remember when it was a good thing to be called a Christian? Now we're in a phase in this eternal time that maybe it's not quite the popular thing to be called a Christian. They're really slamming us. And I was thinking this morning, as we're singing songs, and you could feel the Holy Spirit moving through here this morning, and I'm sure with God that sounded like a glorious sound rising up from here. And I was thinking, the world thinks we're crazy. But we'll be doing that when our bombs are flying. That's where we need to be. Because that gap's still going to be there that he was talking about. We got to stand and be able to sing praises to his name. Revelation 3:12, it says, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Now this is Jesus speaking. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Think about that. We all talk about wanting to be at the feet of Jesus. I mean, that's where we want to be. I think about that feeling inside I get, and I know that's the Holy Spirit. I want to go thank him for that. Because I had other feelings before that were not good. And that's an amazing feeling in there. Right, Jeremy? Isn't it? It is. It is. It's amazing. And we don't understand why we got it. Maybe we don't understand how we got it. We know we got it. We know from where it came. And he's going to write on us his new name. His new name. Okay, called by a new name. Moving on to the last part. The new man singing a new song. Singing a new song. And to clarify, a song, singing a song is not necessarily as Mike does. It's singing praises to our Savior. It's saying glory, hallelujah to his name. It's giving him credit at all times for all things in all places. And not to be ashamed of him at any time. At any place, anywhere. Some of the scriptures real quick. Psalm 40 verse 3 says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Well, think about that. They shall see what we're doing. They'll see that we can stand here and glorify God and praise his name and sing songs of triumph when it appears it's defeat. And they'll think, I want what he's got. I want to know what they're about. I want to know what that is. And we can share Jesus Christ. That's the only hope there is. Because there's going to be a stage in this country, as he said, it's going to be hopeless. It's going to feel hopeless here. Psalm 149:1. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song in his praise in the congregation of saints. I was thinking testimonies. How encouraging is that to hear a testimony from Jillian? How encouraging is that to hear a testimony from Jeremy? That is awesome. Some of us have been Christians a long time, and it's very encouraging for a new Christian to stand up. I remember when I was racing motorcycles, you know, and I kind of got in a rut where, you know, you just kind of went and done it. Still enjoyed it, but you kind of went and done it. But when a kid come up and they had that excitement, that zeal, that put the fun back in it, so to speak. And when a new Christian sees what they got, that's encouraging. It's like Jason was talking about. He gets a little discouraged thinking the computer, the website, whatever. You know, he thinks he's just doing it. But to hear feedback, yeah, that's encouragement. Revelation 15:3 says, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. That's proclaiming his name at all times, at all place, in any situation. That's giving him glory for everything. Even at your lowest point, Julian, praise him. So, go ahead and get ready and get a song. I thought about the definition of what we talked about right there is the example of a gapper. I learned that word today, gapper. I thought, I'm going to do one for the gapper. Right? So, I thought right there, that's what a gapper is. Standing in the gap. I went to a Promise Keepers convention years ago, and the topic was standing in the gap. I had that scripture marked in there from that, thinking, you know, do I want to stand in that gap? And you know, we think about how wide the gap's getting. We got to stay right in there, because it doesn't matter how bad the world gets, that gap's going to be there. So we're not to let go. We're not to give up. We may not change the world. A few souls might get saved. And that's the bottom line. Because this world is doomed. Destiny for doom anyways. It's in the scriptures, right? So our job is standing in the gap. Is to be this person as best we can. To seek him. But to never give up. To always share the gospel. To be bold. He didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of boldness. So why do we fear? I've asked myself that question hundreds of times. Why am I afraid to go talk to that guy? What's the fear? But fear itself, I suppose.